Okay? Oh, lift off. Ish knows. Let's go to into the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come giving you praise, honor, and glory once more because you are indeed a wonderful God. You're a marvelous God, a magnificent God, a holy and righteous God, a miracle-working God, a God with whom nothing is impossible, a God, Lord, in whom we can put our hope, in whom we can put our faith, in whom we can trust. Lord, we can depend upon you because you're faithful. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord, that as we get ready to study your word, Lord, I ask, Lord, that you would give me the utterance to deliver it. Give your people, Lord, a receptive heart.
Yes.
Help them, Lord, to hear what the Spirit is saying.
Yes.
Cause this word, Lord, to fall in good ground and cause it to sprout, Lord, and bring forth fruit in their lives so that they can be a blessing, Lord, so that they can continue to spread the good word, the word that you are indeed a good God. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We commit everything to you and we give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're continuing the lesson from last week, Hope for Today. Now last week we talked about what hope was and how the enemy doesn't want us to have hope. He wants to steal it, you know. We're getting ready to celebrate Christmas in a few weeks. And it's a time of hope. It's a time when we should be joyful. We should be happy to celebrate Christmas, even though we've deviated quite a bit from the real reason of Christmas. You know, when I was growing up and I was a little girl, it was about the birth of Jesus. We knew what Christmas it was all about. It wasn't about gifts. You know, we weren't into gifts back in those days. I mean, if you get a gift, great. But if you didn't get a gift, no big deal. It was a festive time. It was a time for families and, you know, parades. And we'd have concerts about Jesus, his birth, and all that. And it was fun. You know, it was really fun. But the enemy has come in, and, you know, he always messes up, tries to mess up anything that concerns God. And now it's about sales and, you know, gifts. And people are stressed out, worrying about what they're going to get, what, you know, and there's not enough money, and they get depressed. And that's not what the season is all about. So I'm going to teach tonight a little about how to maintain our hope, how to keep it. If you've lost it, I'll give you a few keys so you can get it back, okay? Now John 10:10 says the thief comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That is the only reason he comes. To see what he can steal, what he can plunder from us. Okay? He's always out there looking, you know, to see who he can pounce on. And that's his job, because he's the devil. Our job is to be vigilant, to be watchful, to be diligent. Make sure that we don't give him occasion to come in and, you know, and steal from us, destroy, you know, cause chaos and confusion. That's our job. 1 Peter 5:8 says, for us to be sober. That word sober in today's, you know, to make it in simple means not drunk.
Right.
You know, be in your right mind. Be aware. Be sober, be vigilant, because our adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. See, he cannot devour at will. He has to find someone. Because if he could have devoured at will, guess what, guys? We'd all be gone.
Oh, you're right.
So he cannot devour at will. You know, he has to find someone who's weak, someone who is not alert, someone who is not vigilant, who is not paying attention. I don't know if you guys remember, I can't remember if it was this year or last year when I told a story about the chicken hawk that punks, you know, my mom raised chickens, and we had a mother hen, and she had a brood of chicks. And I was in the yard, and This is a side journey. I had no idea I was going here. And all of a sudden, there was a cloud of dust. And there was a flutter of wings and squawking and feathers flying everywhere. I was totally startled, caught me off guard. And then I'm the mother hen. I mean, she was just keeping up a ruckus, you know? And the next thing I know, I saw it before the dust could really settle, this other bird emerged, and it was a chicken hawk.
Wow.
Holding in his claws a baby chick.
Mm.
He flew up on the coconut tree and ate that chicken.
Oh.
And the mother hen, I mean, she was so distraught. You know, her feathers were out and she was squawking and, you know, making all those angry hen noise. And what had happened, this little chick had strayed away from the mom. The other chicks were with her, but this little one, you know, there's always in the bunch. It likes to do its own thing. And he was perched up there in that tree, just waiting for an opportunity. You know, he knew that it was going to be easier once the mother hen wasn't paying attention. And he pounced. That's exactly what Satan does.
That's right.
If we are not paying attention, if we're not vigilant, if we're not diligent as a people of God,
right,
you can guarantee that Satan is going to come in, steal, kill, and destroy.
Right.
If he can't steal, he'll try to kill. That's his, you know. And if he can't kill, he'll try to destroy our stuff, you know, steal our peace. That is his whole purpose, to steal our peace, discourage us, cause us to lose hope. But Peter said that we should be vigilant, be diligent, be sober, and not be one of those persons that's careless, you know. We have to be alert. We have to be on guard. Or the enemy is going to pounce. He doesn't care who you are.
Amen.
He doesn't care if you're a babe, you know. And he doesn't play fair.
No.
So, you know, we have to be on the lookout. We have to, we cannot give occasion to the devil.
That's right.
All right? Mark 1:35 tells us, in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. This is talking about Jesus. The New International Version says, very early in the morning, while it is still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. You know, I find I'm not much of a, well, it's not really that I'm not a morning person. But sometimes, you know, getting up early is kind of difficult,
yeah.
You know, especially now when it's cold and you're in that bed and everything is nice and warm and cozy. You know, you don't want to get up, you know. And so I've come up with a solution. You know, I have my Bible right there and I can use my phone light so I don't disturb my husband, and I can turn over on the side of the bed and I'm reading, you know, but I'm covered up. I'm nice and cozy and warm. You know, we have to find ways to get into the Word, to commune with God.
Right.
No matter how busy our lives are,
right,
it's our responsibility to find time, you know. If you can't, you know, pray, if you can't pray early in the morning, and, you know, I find that it's better to do it early in the morning because during the day, the course of the day, there's so many distractions.
Yes.
The phone, text messages, you know, the television, ding dong, you know. I mean, there are all kinds of distractions. It's like, and then, you know, you go from, okay, let me just do this and then I'll get here. And then you go from one thing to the next, and before you know it, the morning is gone.
Right.
And you have not read your word. So no wonder Jesus got up early in the morning. Because
yes.
He had all these people, you know, that was just waiting to crowd him to get a healing or ask him something, you know. And so, you know, the point is, whether we can get up very early in the morning or not, we should find time to commune with God,
right,
because that's how, when we put the Word inside of us, when we talk to our Heavenly Father, put our eyes on the Word. There's something about putting our eyes on the Word.
Right.
You know,
yes.
Revelation knowledge comes to us when we're actually looking. Have you ever read a scripture and you've read it over and over again, and then one day you put your eyes on it and suddenly God reveals something to you.
Yes.
Well, do you think you would have gotten that revelation if you hadn't put your eyes on the Word? There's something about putting our eyes on the Word.
Right.
God speaks to us.
Yes, He does.
You know?
He
really does, through His Word.
Right.
And, you know, if you say, well, I can't read, then there's the audio Bible.
Right.
We can listen to it, you know. There are all kinds of ways for us to hear the Word.
Yeah.
We can go on YouTube and listen to it, you know. There's Bible reading. When my kids, especially Matt, when he was in school, on my way back from school, once I dropped them off, I used to turn to I think it was 90.5, and they had Bible reading. I could hear it, you know. Or sometimes I would just pray, you know. A lot of times, you know, these kids are there, you know, they're late for school, you know, and I'm flying, trying to get them out the house, you know. And so I would keep a Bible in the car. It didn't come out. And once we got in there, you know, he had to read it while we're driving. I'd make him read it. He'd read it aloud so I could hear it too, you know. So I can get the Word into him. Because, you know, these kids, they face all kinds of stuff when they go to school. And it's, as parents, it's our responsibility to put the Word into our kids. We cannot depend on the teachers to do it. That's our responsibility. You know, find a way to get the Word in us. Because when we put it in, this morning I was in children's church, and the lesson was about self-control. And, you know, I was teaching that, that Satan would love for us to lose self-control so he can ruin our witness.
You're
Have
right.
you ever noticed? You can do 1,000 good things,
yeah,
and hardly anybody say anything about it. The one time you slip up and make a mistake, and you call yourself a Christian, and they go to church, and it's magnified, you know?
Right.
Just that one time, you make a little mistake, and you're the worst person on the earth, you know? And so, you know, the lesson was about Jesus being in the 40 days of fasting. You know, if you fasted for 40 days, you're weak.
Yeah.
And Satan came with his temptations, you know, trying to get him to lose control. And Jesus gave him the Word, you know. He gave him the Word. It is written. It is written.
Right.
It is written. If we don't put the Word in us, when Satan comes, we're not going to have anything to give him.
Oh, you're right.
We have to put it in, you know, and we put it in by hearing it,
right,
by reading it, listening to it, you know, studying, I mean, singing it. We can sing the Word.
Yeah.
Several years ago, when Pastor taught on supernatural protection, Psalms 91, and it made such an impression on me, I decided to memorize the whole psalm. And it was kind of easy because I had a start, because I learned a couple of verses. We used to sing it as a chorus. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God and in trust. I mean, it was a song, so I had something to work with. And every day, I would learn one line, just one line, and then I would add it to what I already knew. And before I knew it, I learned the whole thing.
Amen.
I put that Word in there. Because, you know, when the enemy comes and starts talking to you, you may not have a Bible where you can turn, or you know, may not be able to call and ask, well, what's that scripture, you know? But if it's in you, you put it in there, the Holy Spirit can pull it out,
right,
you know?
Right.
But we have to put it in.
Right.
That's how we keep hope alive.
Yes.
Putting the Word of God inside of us. I'm kind of jumping ahead of my lesson. But Jesus set the perfect example because he got up and he prayed early, very early in the morning. Now, if he's the Son of God and he found it necessary to pray early,
yes,
I mean, do you think we're better than him? No, we need to do the same thing.
Yes, right.
You know? He had to deal with Satan, and he dealt with him by telling him, it is written. It is written. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. It is written. You know, man shall not live by bread alone. It is written. It is written. You know? And when the enemy comes, we need to have the word inside of us so we can tell him, it is written.
Right. You're right.
Well, to be perfectly honest, I don't tell him it is written. I tell him, shut up. Shut up, Satan. Because, you know, he's a real pain sometimes. Well, all the time. And, you know, it gets on my nerves. And you don't need to be nice to him. Jesus was nice to him. It is written. I tell him, shut up. Shut up. Get away from me. In the name of Jesus. So, you know, one way to maintain our hope is to commune our communion with God, okay?
That's right.
It'll help us to become familiar with Him. You know, if you never spend time with someone, you don't know how they are.
Amen.
You know,
right.
You have to, you know, spend time with people and, you know, you get to know them. But if you don't, you know, like, where I live, it's a shame to say, I barely know my neighbors. I know one lady across the street, and you know, I it's a shame, but I just don't know them, because not that I don't want to, but you know, everybody has so much land and trees. There's trees and the houses are way back there, you know. So you're not, some of these houses you can't even see them. You know, you just see them passing, and they'll wave at me, honk their horn, you know, and I'll wave back, and then I'll say, Lord, I have no idea who that is, you know. But, you know, that's bad. You know, it's how we're living today. We're you know, we're isolated, and that's what the enemy wants us to do, isolate us, so that we don't have fellowship with each other, because we draw strength from each other.
You're right.
You know, when we're discouraged, you know, we can have a friend to strengthen us, to help us, to encourage us, to give us a word. And so when we commune with God in prayer, we get to know how, you know, we get to know Him. You know, and if you read something or somebody tells you something, you know, that don't sound right. That don't sound like God. But when we don't spend time with Him, we don't read His word, we don't put it inside of us, the enemy can come and tell us anything, and you know he's slick. He'll put it in such a way that it sounds good. And you know, we'll grab it, and we'll start meditating that thing, and we're wondering why we're depressed. Why, you know, there's no hope. Because we're meditating on the wrong thing. Instead of meditating God's word, we're meditating the devil's lies. He's an expert liar. He created it. Jesus said so in John 8:44. He says, when he speaketh the lie, he speaketh of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. He invented it. And so when we put the word in, we can detect a lie. You know, we always know. You know, I've had people lie to me. And while they were lying, the Holy Spirit was telling me, lie.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm looking at them in the eye, and they have no idea that I know that they're lying. The Holy Spirit will alert you.
Yes, He will.
One time I gave this girl some money, and she came and told me this lie. And I believed her. Until 2 weeks later, I'm doing dishes, wasn't even thinking about it, and the Holy Spirit said to me, you remember that money you gave so-and-so? She stole it. She spent it. She told you a lie. I knew that she had lied to me. And now the time it was a tape, back then it was tapes. CD wasn't on the horizon. And it was a Christian tape and some really nice songs, and this guy borrowed it because he said he had to take these church people on some excursion and he wanted some nice music. So I loaned him my tape. And then, you know, he came and told me that somebody blamed it, one of the church folks said they stole it. You know, they stole your tape. And while I'm standing there, the Holy Spirit is telling me, he liked the tape and decided to take it. So he's lying to you. And I looked at him and I thought, okay, Lord, use the tape to save him. The Holy Spirit will talk to you. He will tell you stuff. You know, but we have to cultivate that atmosphere. We have to build that relationship for him to talk to us. All right? And, you know, that's one way to maintain our hope. And you know, and when he comes with his lies, we'll be able to know it. I was trying to remember a story that somebody told about people who work in the treasury, how they can recognize counterfeit money by just looking at it, because they handle money, they handle the real thing so much that when somebody tried to pass some counterfeit thing, they know it, they can tell it, you know. Well, that's how we should be. We should have such a relationship with God that when Satan comes and tells us a lie, we should be able to detect it.
Yes.
Just like that.
Yes.
You know?
No one deceives by anything. That's right.
And you know, he wouldn't be able to steal our hope from us. Because see, when he takes our hope, he's taking away the hope. You know, I feel that hope is like a trigger. You know, the trigger that causes our faith to come alive. But when you don't have no hope, what do you do? You know, and Satan, he's always trying to get us to that place where we feel hopeless. But God doesn't right. want us to feel hopeless. He wants to fill us up with hope.
Right.
So spending time with God is important. You know, we feed our bodies. Don't we feed our bodies? We eat 3-4 times a day, some of us more. We buy vitamins, you know. I do the green thing in the morning. I have these powdered greens that I shake up, you know, and I drink it. And I used to take collagen and I ran out. I have to go get my collagen, you know. And, you know, to take care of the hair and the nails, you know, and everything. And if I can lose a few pounds, that's a bonus. But these are the things that we do for our physical body.
Right.
But we neglect our spirit man.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? And that's the important thing.
Yeah.
Our spirit, we need to feed our spirit.
Yes, you're right.
But we, you know, we put the cart before the horse, don't we? So, and it's during these quiet times, you know, that God speaks to us. He reveals things to us.
Yes.
You know, he reveals his word. He reveals his will. But if we never spend any time with him, we are starving our spirit. And that's not good. You know, we need to take care of our spirit man. And we need to become familiar with God's voice. Keep the word in front of our eyes, hide it in our hearts. Psalms 119, 105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." God's word is a lamp and a light.
Yes, it is.
He will lead us. He will guide us. He'll light our path. When we put our eyes on the word, revelation knowledge comes, and we know what to do. When I just gotten saved, there was this scripture that didn't make no sense to me. Be angry and sin not. And I used to say, how could you be angry and not sin? But, you know, I just kept reading it, and I kept reading it and reading it. And one day, I was reading in my bed, and all of a sudden, boom, the revelation just came to me. That God, when he said, be angry and sin not, it wasn't a carnal kind of a sin. It was a spiritual anger we're supposed to have. Like when Jesus became angry and beat the people out of the temple. Mm-hmm. That was a spiritual anger. You know, or when you're angry because of something unrighteous that's going on. Spiritual anger, not the kind of carnal anger that somebody, you know, cut you off on the road and you get mad with them, you know, not that kind of an anger. But that was the Holy Spirit. That was direct from the Holy Spirit. He revealed that scripture to me. And, you know, there have been plenty of times when God would reveal his word to me because I was looking at it. He gives us revelation knowledge. Another way to keep our hope, church attendance.
That's right.
Very important. You know?
That's right.
When we come to church regularly, we're surrounding ourselves with people of faith.
Right.
People of like mind.
Yeah.
Who is able to give us a word of encouragement when we're feeling down.
Yeah.
You know? We don't need to forsake the assembling of ourselves.
That's right.
Now, I know that people have to work. I know that. I know sometimes, you know, people get ill or, you know, family obligations and things sometimes get in the way. But it shouldn't be a habit
right.
where we just, you know, don't come to church except maybe for Easter or Christmas, or if we have a family member that's performing in the choir or doing something, then the whole family show up. That's not the way it should be.
Yeah.
You know, because there's a corporate anointing that comes on us when we assemble ourselves, when there's a body of believers together.
Yes.
You know, there's something, an anointing that just for us to draw from. But when you're by yourself, you know, not to say that you can't hear from God, but it's different.
Yeah.
It's different when, you know, when you come and a body of believers come together
right.
and you're singing,
yes.
you're on the same page, the same wavelength, you're in agreement, total agreement. You know, there's a corporate anointing that comes and gives you strength,
yeah.
lifts your faith. You know, all of a sudden you can see clearly, you know,
yes.
all of a sudden you can believe for this thing that you've been wanting.
Right.
But Satan doesn't want that. So he comes with all these different things to keep us busy. Other things are more important. You have to do this. You have to get the extra hours at the work. You know, you need to pay this bill, or you know the kids need clothes. Or, you know, he comes up with all these reasons, and then, you know, if we're not discerning and we don't recognize, I'm not saying that it's bad to work overtime or work an extra job, but we need to put things in priority.
Right.
Because this is how Satan steals from us.
Yes,
we're so busy
yes.
trying to earn the extra dollar that we're not feeding ourselves. We're forsaking the assembling of ourselves
mm-hmm.
together. We're not getting that word,
right.
that God wants to give us. Because
stuff.
We're busy working, and then what happens? We get the money and it just fly away.
Yes, you're right.
You know?
Right.
But when we put God first, He'll multiply what we have. God knows how to multiply things.
Yes,
I'm telling you, there have been times, you know, at one time we had two kids in college at the same time. And it was just one income. And up to this day, I look back on those days, and I'm telling you, I can't imagine how we did it. Pay our mortgage, pay both of my kids' rent, right? Pay their power bill, buy them food, you know, back and forth, picking them up on the weekend. They used to like to come home, you know, and I had to go down there to pick them up and come back, take them back on Sunday nights, you know, gasoline.
Yeah.
I mean, in one time, Petal needed a book for a test. Just for that one time, $100 and something, one time. I'm like, why do I, you know, she's not going to need this book anymore. She's needed for this test. And, you know, it was, money was, you know, take, and, you know, God provided.
Yes, he does.
I just don't know. The numbers just don't add up. Not to say that it was easy. You know, there were some testy times, but God saw us through every single one of them, right? When we put God first, you know, and we make it a priority to assemble ourselves with other believers,
right.
and we get the food that we need for our spirit, we're keeping hope alive.
Yes.
We're strengthening.
Yes.
ourselves.
Right.
All right? So we shouldn't ignore coming to church because we need each other.
Yes.
Exodus 17:12, Moses needed Aaron and Hur to hold his hands up. When the children of Israel were in a battle, and the Bible said that whenever his hands were held up, they prevailed. When his hands got tired and he put his hands down, the enemy prevailed. And Aaron and Hur came on each side of him and they would hold his hands up. When we come together, we hold each other up.
Yeah.
All right? We hold each other up.
Yes.
When we're out there all by ourselves, nobody knows what's going on with us. I mean, you know, we're easy prey for Satan.
You're right. That's right.
You know? So it's important. It'll help our faith. Hebrews 10, our hope. Hebrews 10, 23 and 25. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. See, we provoke each other to good works when we come together,
yes.
Right? We keep each other's hope alive.
Yes.
We encourage each other. We strengthen each other. Sometimes you don't even have to say anything to a person. One time we were, it was during praise and worship, and one lady was, I think she was on that side. I can't remember. But she just started speaking in tongues. She just burst out speaking in tongues. And you know, that thing did something to me, just hearing her. It's hard to describe, you know, but it lifted my, just hearing her. And afterwards I told her, I said, you just don't know how you blessed me.
Uh-huh.
When you were speaking, you were praying in tongues. Now what if she wasn't here? Iron sharpens iron.
Yeah.
You know, we don't know how we're blessing people just by being here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't know, you know, what we will do for that person when, you know, maybe just something that we say, something that pastor might say in his message, that would be just the thing that they needed.
Right.
Just that will give them that spark to keep their hope alive.
Yeah.
You know, so coming to church is important, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another.
Right.
That word means encourage, lift
yes.
up, and so much more as you see the day approaching.
Right.
So we have to surround ourselves with like-minded believers,
right.
people of faith. The message reads, so let's do it. Full of belief, confident that we're presentable inside and out. All right? We have to hold fast to our confession of faith, our profession of faith. Let's keep a firm grip on the promises that keep us going. He always keeps his word. God is faithful, always keeps his word, always. For those of you who were here this morning, I told the story, you know, about the friend that had the need, and we prayed a prayer for agreement, and then the next day when I called, the need was met, and I got upset, and I said to God, I was angry, and I said, God, you said this, you said if two of us shall agree as touching anything on earth, that it shall be done for us by you up in heaven. And I said, Lord, we came into agreement. I said, Lord, I know I was in agreement, and she had to be because she was the one with the need, but you didn't meet it. You did not meet it. It wasn't 30 seconds before God told me what to do. And that lady's need was met. God keeps his word.
Yes,
he keeps his word.
Yes,
you
does.
Know? Where the times that we're living in today is, you know, everything is negative. There's all that bad news out there.
Yeah.
We don't need to feast on all that stuff.
Right.
It'll steal your hope.
Right.
Up is down and down is up. You know, good is evil and evil is good. You know, our leaders, they're instituting unrighteous laws, unrighteous decrees. It's crazy. It'll drive you nuts. Make you mad. I read something on my phone today, I think in Oregon somewhere, the marketplace or wherever, and they have all these Christmas decorations, you know, they put up. And now Satan have his own decoration that he put up in between in the Christmas decorations. He's got something, you know, I'm like, huh, what's going on? You know, he just copies everything that God has. We have a nativity scene, we have a Christmas tree. Notice how they're putting up, you know, at that certain time in October, people, you know. It never used to be like that. Now everybody have these eerie lights and things. Give me the creeps. I hate it. You know. And you know, it'll discourage you. When we have the word in us, it'll keep us, keep the fire burning. All right? Isaiah 10:1. Woe unto them the decree unrighteous decrees and that right grievousness which they have prescribed. How do we protect ourselves from that without it affecting us? By putting the word in there.
Right.
By, you know, fellowshipping, communing with God, by coming to church, associating with other believers. 1 Corinthians 15:33-34. Be not deceived, evil communication corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. My mom used to say to me, show me your company and I'll tell you who you are. You know. And then everybody know the saying, if you lie down with dogs, you'll get up with fleas.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. We have to be careful who we associate with.
You're right.
We have to be careful who we allow to influence us.
That's right.
You know, who we listen to.
That's right.
What we read, you know, because it'll steal our hope. Hope stealers, that's what I call them. You know, the Passion says, so stop fooling yourselves. Evil companions will corrupt good morals and character. Come back to your right senses and awaken to what is right. That's, you know, that's where Peter said for us to be sober, be vigilant.
Right.
We have it, you know, we have to do it. No one's going to do it for us. You know, we have to guard our hearts. Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life.
Yeah.
And so we have to watch what we put into our ear gate, into our eye gate.
Yes.
You know, what we put into our heart.
Yeah.
Because what you put in your heart is going to come out.
That's
out
right.
of the abundance of the heart, the mouth what?
Hallelujah.
Speaks.
That's right.
All right?
Hallelujah.
We have to be careful who we associate
right.
with. I looked in the Scofield Bible this afternoon. I was trying to make sure I had all my scriptures correct, because one time I messed up and Chrissy said to me, that wasn't there. Sorry. And so I had the Bible open and I was, you know, making sure I had it all right. And this is what Scofield says about 1 Corinthians 15:33-34. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupt good morals. Become right-minded and stop sinning, because some people are ignorant about God. They just don't know.
Amen.
So how are you going to, you know, allow them to influence you? You're the Christian. Our light is supposed to be shining. Is that what the word says? You know? So we have to watch our company. We have to, you know, not allow them to influence us. Sometimes we have to just turn off social media, news, TV, newspapers.
Right.
Because all they do is peddle fear, distrust, anger, hatred.
Right.
And all those things are hope stealers.
You're right.
Right? We have to set our affections on things above. Colossians 3:2. Set our affections, set our mind on heavenly things.
Yes.
You know, keep the word in front of us. put it in our hearts, hide it in our hearts.
Right.
You know, be around like-minded believers of faith, people who will encourage us, people who will remind us that God is faithful. And that he always keeps his word. He always keeps his promises. And when we do that, if we do that, I guarantee you that the enemy will never be able to steal our hope.